All right, so James was here last night. He called me. It was probably 9 o'clock last night, asking if I would be willing to share. And like the first thing that Chrissy said was, "Well, are you going to read his sermon?" And I wish I would have suggested that, because it was a really good sermon last night. So if you do get the chance, I would recommend going online and looking at the sermon. We even realized recently that you don't actually need to have Facebook to watch the sermons. You can just, I think, Google Facebook and Here's Hope Church, and since the page is public, you don't have to be logged in to watch it. So I would recommend doing that. Last night it was really good. Again, the title that I have is "Remembering God's Faithfulness," and it's kind of come through a lot of different things. I've been reading through the Old Testament, and so those of you, I think all of you at some point have attended Saturday night. So I usually give the call to worship, and a lot of times that's related to things that I'm reading, a big thing that's come up is remembering God's promises and just how important that is, and recognizing that the people of Israel needed that over and over and over again. And so I talked a little bit about this last night in my call to worship, because I was talking with Mark before the sermon, and just remembering how easy it is for me to forget God's promises and to forget God's faithfulness and to forget everything he's taught me, and how we need a reminder. And so just kind of looking through stuff I've read through so far, I picked out some verses that I felt like really pointed that out, and pointed out how we can remember God's faithfulness. And even today, it was funny. I was reading, I was starting First Chronicles this morning, and I read the little blurb at the beginning to explain it, and it said the author wrote First Chronicles so that the exiles returning would remember God's faithfulness. So it's been a kind of a crazy 12 hours looking at things and praying, but again, I already feel like I've seen this in my life in the last 12 hours. So that was really neat. So I'm going to start with Genesis 32:9. Just kind of run through those. Oh, so this is Jacob, and Chrissy is always trying to remind me to not be so hard on Jacob. He is not one of my favorite fathers in the Bible. And what I came to look at this time reading through the Bible was, I think the reason why he isn't one of my favorite is because I am a lot like Jacob. I feel like Jacob tends to bend the truth a little bit so that it's more on his side of things. His name means deceiver. And so I know in my life I've struggled a lot with kind of white lies, which are sin, to make myself look better, to not, So I think my heart's softened a little bit towards Jacob. It might not seem like it in what I'm going to share, but I do think I have a little more empathy for Jacob because he is very similar to what I've seen in my life. So Genesis 32:9, "Then Jacob prayed, 'O God of my grandfather Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me, return to your own land and to your relatives, and you promised me I will treat you kindly.'" And so when we think of God's faithfulness, I think that is what we all want. God told Jacob where to go. And then he also said, I'm going to be kind to you. It's like, this is what I want. This is what I want God's faithfulness to look like. But as kind of is par for the course for Jacob, that's not what God said. So if you go back to actually what God said, so this is Genesis 31:3, just turning back one page. God said most of that to Jacob, but he actually didn't say that. This is what God said to Jacob in Genesis 31:3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and grandfathers and to your relatives there, and I will be with you. So he doesn't say that he's going to be kind to Jacob. He says that he will be with him. And I think a lot of times God's faithfulness looks different than we want it to. I want God. These are the things I want from God, and if I see these things from God, then that means he's faithful. But it doesn't always mean that. And I do think this, return to the land of your fathers and grandfathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. I do think God with us is at the heart of God's faithfulness and recognizing that he is here. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the people that are speaking bad about us, or I know that thinking about the church, this church in general, I know that we've had kind of a long season of grief, and there's been, 6, 7, 8 deaths tied to our church in the last month and a half. And where we see God's faithfulness is that he is with us. He is here with us. And so, again, as I kept going through the Old Testament, I continued to see God's faithfulness to his people. And so, Deuteronomy 29, what do I have up there? 2-6. So let's go to Deuteronomy 29, 2-6. And so I don't actually know the years here. So I know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, slaves in Egypt. Yeah, Moses, Red Sea, wilderness. And so, I think this is 500 years later. The people are finally ready to enter the promised land. And again, you think about God's faithfulness. I think when Abraham was told, you're going to be given all this land and all these people, Abraham didn't get to see that. Isaac didn't get to see that. Jacob didn't get to see that. But what they did have is they did have God with them. Okay, so this is kind of the fulfillment of that promise. So Deuteronomy 29, 2-4. So Moses summoned all the Israelites, and said to them, you have seen with your own eyes everything the Lord did in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to the whole country. All the great tests of strength, the miraculous signs, and the amazing wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you minds that understand, nor eyes that see, nor ears that hear. And I remember reading that, and that really shocked me, because that language there in verse 4 sounds a lot like New Testament language. So I'm going to read verse 4 again. But to this day, the Lord has not given you minds that understand, nor eyes that see, nor ears that hear. And I remember in the New Testament, Jesus always praying, he who has eyes, let him see, he who has ears, let him hear, recognizing that remembering God's faithfulness, there is a supernatural component to it. It isn't something that we can just grit our teeth and say, I'm going to remember this, I'm going to post all these Bible sayings, and I'm going to post all these, I'm going to keep them in front of my eyes. But remembering God's faithfulness, there is a supernatural component. Yeah, again, I'm going to read verse 4. But to this day, the Lord has not given you minds to understand, nor eyes that see, nor ears that hear. And the great news for us, living in this day, after Jesus' resurrection, is that we have the Spirit in us. And that it allows us better access to minds that understand, eyes that see, and ears that hear. So I'm going to read 5 and 6 then. So for 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other alcoholic drink, but he provided for you so you would know that he is the Lord your God. And again, God's faithfulness looks different than we expect. When you listen to the Israelites' complaint against God, they complain about no food, so he gives them manna. They complain about no meat, so he gives them quail. They complain about no water, and so he makes the water better. God's faithfulness to the Israelites looked different than they expected. And I might be reading a little bit into this, but I think the Israelites expected a party. They expected feast after feast after feast. We're God's people. We're his chosen people. Now we can just go party. Okay. But again, I like it. It says that, they were walking for 40 years and, their clothes and sandals didn't wear out. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. God was faithful to them. And even though, they didn't have as many feasts as they wanted, they survived. They lived for that long in the wilderness. So God's faithfulness looks different than we expect. And again, from verse 4, it takes a supernatural component. And so then in Joshua 24, and again, these are all through the Old Testament. I remember last time I read the Old Testament, I know that Solomon has a whole talk on God's faithfulness and remembering that, but I just was picking the ones that I had read recently. So Joshua 24, I'm going to start in verse 14 and then go backwards. So verse 14, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. And so verse 14 starts out with the word so. In many of your Bibles, it probably has the word therefore. And as if you've been in church for any amount of time, you've probably heard a preacher say, so why is the therefore therefore? So what is this? Again, the beginning of verse 14 is so. So why are the Israelites supposed to fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly? So the reason why the Israelites are supposed to fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly, the answer comes in verses 1 to 13. So I'm going to read that, and then I'll finish with 14. So Joshua 24, 2. Joshua said to the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshipped other gods. But I took your ancestor Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him into the land of Cana. I gave him many descendants through his son Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountain of Seir, while Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I brought terrible plagues on Egypt. And afterwards I brought you out as a free people. But when your ancestors arrived at the Red Sea, the Egyptians chased after you with chariots and charioteers. When your ancestors cried out to the Lord, I put darkness between you and the Egyptians. I brought the sea crashing down on the Egyptians, drowning them. With your very own eyes, you saw what I did. Then you lived in the wilderness for many years. Finally, I brought you into the land of the Amorites on the east side of the Jordan. They fought against you, and I destroyed them before you. I gave you victory over them, and you took possession of their land. Then Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, started a war against Israel. He summoned Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to him. Instead, I made Balaam bless you, and so I rescued you from Balak. When you crossed the Jordan River and came to Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave you victory over them, and I sent terror ahead of you to drive out the two kings of the Amorites. It was not your sword or bow that brought you victory. I gave you land you had not worked on, and I gave you towns you did not build. The towns where you are now living, I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. And then again, the word so, or the word therefore. So why should the people fear the Lord, and why should the people serve him wholeheartedly? Because of God's faithfulness. Everything there from 2 to 13, you see a lot of God saying, I did this, I did this, I did this. It wasn't with your strength, it wasn't with your power, it was what I did. God was faithful to them through all of that. And so when we remember God's faithfulness, it does lead to action. It does lead to action. So in that verse, it's interesting. Again, I read a lot of names. I read Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron. And I said it earlier, all of those people didn't get to see the fulfillment of the promise. But they still believed God, and they still experienced his faithfulness. Again, probably not in the way they expected. God, here are all these promises. I'm expecting to see X, Y, and Z. At least I feel like that's me in my flesh. That's what I. God, here's all these promises. Let's see these now. I want them now. But they were faithful. They didn't see the fulfillment of the promise, but they did trust in God's faithfulness. And so I know the ladies are doing Hebrews soon, so almost immediately that reminded me of Hebrews. So I'm going to go to Hebrews 11, 13 to 16. All right, so Hebrews 11, and if you don't know, that's the, is it 11 and 12? No, just 11. That's the chapter on faithful witnesses. So again, this is speaking, Hebrews 11, 1 to 12, talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. So 13 and 16 kind of wraps up that section on them. So all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. Excuse me. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on this earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for that country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So, remembering God's faithfulness. it's hard to do. Again, I think in our bodies, especially in my body and my flesh, I struggle day to day, week to week, month to month, to remember that God is faithfulness and God is faithful. And I do think it is impossible in our flesh. Like we said, there is a supernatural component to it. Okay, but we do know that God is always faithful. That is one of his characteristics. So I'll finish with John 16:33, and worship team, when you want to come back up. A well-known verse, at least one I feel like I tend to remind myself a lot of. So John 16:33. So I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. Even though it's different than I want, it's different than I expect. But God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your presence with us, for that promise that you will never leave us. God, that you will never forsake us, that you are here. And we read there in John that does bring peace. That does bring rest in you. So, Father, I pray that we would remember your faithfulness. I pray that you would, as it says in Deuteronomy, that you would allow our minds to think of you, that you would allow our eyes to see you, that you would allow our ears to hear you. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit that enables us to do that. And God, as we remember your faithfulness, I pray that would spur us on to action in you, that would spur us on to godly works, that would spur us on to a life fully committed to you. And thank you, God, again, that you have not left us and you will continue to be with us. Help us to remember that day by day, week by week, month by month, that you are always with us. We thank you for your promises and for you. In your name, amen.